The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
5 o'clock hour is live, and before we get to our next guest, I want to give a couple of statistics about him. He was, in 1974, the Division II National Coach of the Year. He's in countless Hall of Fames. He had a pretty amazing record as a football coach. In fact, his last year at Central Michigan, he was 10-1. He had an 83-32-2 overall record there. But that's not what you know Roy Kramer for. You know him as being the athletic director at Vanderbilt and later as one of the most influential commissioners in the history of college sports. And now the newest member, he will be inducted in December, of the College Football Hall of Fame. Commissioner Kramer, first of all, thank you for joining us and many congratulations. How are you?
I'm doing great, Paul, and thank you very much.
I've gone back in various episodes of time and looked into your career as a coach, and I think it gets underappreciated. I know that it's been a while since you were on the field, but let's talk for just a second about your days as a coach in Michigan and elsewhere, and what those days meant to you.
Well, as you look back over time, and I'm looking back over a long time, as you know, Paul. It certainly probably was the highlight of my experience in athletics because of the relationship with the young men who played the game and the excitement, the emotion, and the game itself, which meant so much to me and which I thoroughly enjoyed. And we did have a degree of success there, and we had some great young men who played in that era and made me look good as a coach.
We call you commissioner now, but I mean, there was a time a lot of people referred to you as coach as well because of your reputation. How did that help you, or what effect or impact did it have when you not only became an athletic director, but later had to deal with the entire body of coaches in the Southeastern Conference?
Well, I always felt, and I thought at the time, that it was a plus because I understood both sides of the picture. Obviously, we had issues that came forward, but I was able to listen because I think I understood where the coaches were coming from. They have a very passionate desire to win, a very passionate interest in their particular team and the success of that team, and being able to balance that with the tough decisions you have to make, I think was a very strong foundation for me in that period of time.
Commissioner, I know you have been selected to countless Hall of Fames and probably have run out of space with all the awards that you have received, but when you heard this news the other day about this particular award, what was your reaction and what does it mean?
Well, first of all, Paul, it's very humbling because if you look at the list of individuals in that Hall of Fame and try to imagine that somehow you fit in a small corner of that, is a very humbling experience because the game, the Hall of Fame is really a history of the game of college football. And as you surmise that and realize that you have been invited to be a part of that, is a very humbling experience, I have to say. And I think that was the principal feeling I felt when I received that announcement.
Talking to Commissioner Roy Kramer, along with a very distinguished group being selected for the 23 College Football Hall of Fame. Commissioner, we are now 8 days removed from yet another national championship for your league, the Southeastern Conference. I know that never gets old, but it is pretty remarkable, and I think we'd all be interested in your thoughts as you viewed Monday night and Georgia doing it again.
Well, I'm certainly very proud of the Bulldogs because they certainly demonstrated that they deserved that number one ranking all year long. They played with a an enormous amount of intensity and excitement and emotion that I think just demonstrated how good a football team that was. The stories of the individuals on that team are countless. A walk-on quarterback, truly outstanding offensive and defensive linemen and wide receivers. It was a complete team. I suspect one of the most complete teams we've seen in the long and storied history of the Southeastern Conference, and they certainly demonstrated it that night. I often reflect back, Paul, when we first decided to have that championship game. Well, you and I had a few discussions over, but anyway,
we did.
When we first decided to have that game, how strongly some people felt, including some of our coaches and in the media as well, that would be the end of the Southeastern Conference, that we would never be able to challenge for a national championship again. Well, I think last Monday night certainly demonstrated that didn't necessarily come true.
You know, Commissioner, I remember working. My boss at the time was has just passed away a couple of years ago. He wrote a column saying the SEC will never have an undefeated team again because it will cost the league championships. And you remember distinctly Gene Stallings that first year bellyaching after going, I guess it was 11-0, and saying we still haven't won anything yet because.
That's right. I remember Gene calling me saying, we played the whole season and we haven't won anything.
I know we were all happy to see him win the national championship, but man, I would not have wanted to be in your office on the day afterwards if they had lost that championship.
Well, yes, I suspect that was fortuitous in the long run. It was a great game, if you remember. It went right down to the wire.
No, I do. I remember it very well. It was fantastic. And I remind Coach Spurrier of that many, many, many times when I've been with him in casual.
I'm sure he would.
It really was a great game. We haven't talked to you since the news broke about the expansion of the playoff, and we're still 2 years away, but we're not that far away from being able to talk about it. What was your reaction to that, and what do you think it's going to mean to the game to have so many different rounds as opposed to what we've had in the past?
Well, I have sort of mixed emotions, to be honest with you, Paul. I understand the political practicality of the fact that the championship games have become so big that the desire by conferences to have some recognition in that and some presence in that has grown so strong that probably inevitably had to happen. I have some reservations, however, for a couple of reasons, or three perhaps. One is we're extending the length of the season, the number of games to play. Football is a very tough sport, as you know, with a lot of injuries at times. And we're asking our players to extend that season significantly more than where we are right now. But beyond that, I worry that are we really going to establish a national champion? I've always stated that I'm never sure that the basketball tournament establishes a national champion. It certainly establishes a tournament champion. But whether that was the best team because of the number of games you have to endure and the chances for upset, whether the best teams finally get to that stage. Where I think that with the four teams as we have now, I think this year was another clear example of that. I think there was a clear-cut number of four teams that deserved to be in that championship. I think the committee did a great job of putting them into that championship. And I think we truly have a national champion in college football. And I worry that we may lose that to some degree because if you play three or four games, the opportunities of upsets are more. And I realize that's exciting for the fans and the media. But it does not necessarily prove or establish a so-called national champion.
We're talking to Commissioner Kramer. Commissioner, it just seems like we have dealt with a number of tragedies this year in college football, with the terrible incident at Virginia. We just have been talking about what happened at Georgia over the weekend. I realize things like that happen, and they happen on everyone's watch. We lost Coach Leach as well. But I'm particularly curious what you've learned over the years, because I remember, you may have dealt with bigger controversies, but I can't forget, and I know nobody can forget, in the aftermath of September 11th, the challenge that you had in dealing with that episode and that incident and the repercussions on whether to play college football that weekend. Initially, the league decided to play and then reversed it when pretty much everything else shut down. Would you address that, not only that subject, but just the overall subject of dealing with this?
Well, it is a tough situation. We've had a particularly tough run here the last two or three weeks, as you well know, as you referred to. And those are very sad and very life experiences that happen. And athletics cannot avoid being a part of that. It's a part of real life. The players are real life. They have families. They have relatives. They have a life of their own far beyond the Saturday afternoons that we watch them on the field. And these kinds of events certainly touch the lives, not only of those families that are immediately affected, but it touches the whole team, because football is very much a team sport. And the members of that team are very close. And when one of those members is affected in a very sad and difficult way, it affects the entire team. And that's one of the challenges coaches have as they move through this, is to realize that they're dealing with not just football players, but actual human beings who experience these times in life. It is tough to make some of those decisions. It was very tough to make that decision of 9/11. As you know, I had some feelings that we should continue to play, because I felt what was being called upon was for this country to change its way of life. And that's why they struck on that tragic day in September of that year. And that perhaps we should certainly set aside a time to honor the people who lost their lives and all of that. But we should not allow those people to change the way we live by any type of an incident like that. But those are tough decisions to make, and we had to make those. We've had to make those, of course, with the dealing with the COVID situation and other situations of that nature. And that's a tough time for the leaders in intercollegiate athletics or pro sports or wherever it happens.
Commissioner Roy Kramer, on so many various subjects, including his recent selection to the College Football Hall of Fame. Commissioner, you bring so much joy to all of us here when we're able to visit with you. Stay well, and we can't wait to see you very soon.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you. Commissioner Roy Kramer, now in the College Football Hall of Fame as we head to the break. Your phone calls on the other side.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back here, we continue after some fantastic guests to hit the calls. And JB is in Huntsville. Hello, JB.
Paul, what's going on, my man?
We're doing fine. Thank you.
I hate to just release some breaking news here on your program this afternoon, but I'm in the dumbass. He goes on and he's trying to blame Nate Oates for what Darius Miles did or didn't do. As you know, in America, we're innocent until proven guilty. It's a terrible situation. We all know it. But news came out that it was Darius's gun and the other guy in the vehicle pulled the trigger. It's awful. But for Iman to come and spew his absolute ignorance on this program every day, it's beyond me. It's blasphemy. It's gaslighting. And he's a moron. But I got a couple of us going to Nashville tonight. We're about to leave here in about 45 minutes to go watch the Tide play in their first game, obviously, since the incident. And I just want to know kind of your thoughts on maybe how we'll be welcomed into Memorial Gymnasium tonight. And I don't think it'll be a nice welcome. You know, students can be ruthless. Fans can be ruthless. And I think it's going to be a tough environment on the road for Nate Oates' squad the rest of the year. And I just want to get your thoughts.
Yeah, JB, and I suspect that's probably what Nate Oates has talked to his team about, is just be prepared and be cool. And that's going to be difficult because you're right. There is precedent for this. And, you know, you can pick your poison, but I would say this is going to be a very difficult crowd. And I think what you have to have, you just have to make sure your players don't lose their cool, because if they do that, and this is what I would say, and I know Nate's a lot smarter than I am when it comes to this, you're going to turn a bad situation into one that's worse. And the perception of Alabama basketball is on the line if that happens.
Yeah. My other thing, I guess, so the tournament comes back to Bridgestone, the SEC tournament this year, correct?
That is correct,
I don't know why we went to St. Louis 2 years ago and then Tampa. It's beyond me. It should be held in Nashville.
I hear you.
Every year. But so I presume you guys will be there again?
Yes, we normally go. We spent 3 days outside in Tampa last year, which was nice. But the tournament was supported there. The one that I've never – I do understand it. The reason they went to St. Louis was a payback to Missouri, but I've never experienced anything more unattractive as that basketball tournament.
No, it made no sense. It's the furthest away, you know, geologically. You look from every single school and every single fan base. The only school that benefits from it is obviously Missouri, and I don't think they showed up in good numbers that year.
No, but, they were out of it. They lost in the. I think Alabama beat them the first time they played.
Yeah. Well, I will see you in Nashville, and I will talk to you. Oh, by the way, whatever you're paying Danny Bramlett, it ain't enough. Okay, pay the man.
Okay, JB, thank you. A fan of Danny Bramlett. Let's continue to Bill is up next. Hey, Bill.
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Feinbaum?
We are doing well. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, glad to be on. This past December 12th, the fan broke my left leg. And on New Year's Day, I fell on my niece and nephew-in-law's coffee table, hit my back of my head on it, and had to have 4 stitches put in, by the way. Had a head injury, but I got some choices for defense coordinator for Alabama. Either D'Amico Rines, Roland McKinnon, Gene Cizik, or my cousin Joey Wingo at Pilcomb High School in Alabama. And my cousin goes out to Georgia. If I was you, I'd block him from the show. Now, let you go and have a good weekend.
Bill, you take care of yourself. Be well. D'Amico Rines is really, he's a coach getting looks at all across the NFL right now to be head coach, to be a head coach. I know the Panthers have asked for permission. Others have as well. Former Alabama All-American. Thank you for the call. Jesse is in Commerce, Georgia. Hello, Jesse.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you doing today?
We're doing great. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, I just want to send my heart and prayers out to the UGA family. And also, that my question is about the Kirby Smart coaching tree. Do you think it will have as much success as the Saban tree in the near future? What do you think? Your thoughts on that?
Well, he's off to a great start when you consider
Dan Lanning.
And many others.
Yeah.
He's going to need the longevity. Those are always difficult questions in the short term. But I would say yes. I think he's got a chance to build one of those over his career.
I think Dan Lanning got one coming up pretty soon.
Yeah, no, I think he is just sensational. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Robert in South Carolina. Hello, Robert.
Hey, Paul. Paul, I wanted to run by you what you thought about Clemson hiring Jet Riley.
I was very impressed, Robert, with the move. It's a little bit outside the norm for Dabo Swinney, but I think it's a realization by Dabo Swinney that he had to change. And that means that he is more aware of his circumstances than I thought he was, which I think is positive for the program.
Yes, and it's kind of unusual that somebody's not associated with Clemson or either Alabama.
Yeah, no, I think he had to do it, Robert. He's on the clock right now from an ACC standpoint, because I really think and many believe that Florida State is going to start challenging them on a year-to-year basis. And I know last year I think there were two teams other than Clemson in the ACC championship game, but most years Clemson has that spot locked down. Steven is in St. Simons. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. What's going on, buddy?
Hi there.
So I just don't want you to hang up on me, but I think I-Man was on to a little something by you not, and I know all the Bammers don't want to discuss it because they want to hide from the truth, but I just want to tell you a little bit of background about me first.
Okay.
I'm a son of a prominent little defense attorney in Texas. I'm also been in law enforcement for 27 years. All right. And I will tell you that police officers don't arrest people as fast as they arrested the Bama basketball player without substantial evidence supporting their case. Do you agree with that?
Steven, I completely agree with that.
All right. So I'm going to say that everybody is innocent until proven guilty, but I would have liked to see Talty come on, more people associated more closely with the Bama basketball program to see if you can get police reports to see if there's anything, because from reading about it, the female is from Birmingham, came down with her boyfriend. The boyfriend may have had a gun also. So I don't know exactly what happened in the confrontation, but I don't know who instigated it, but it's probable that the basketball player was involved in some way, shape, or form. If he was the one that pulled the trigger,
well, Steven,
we don't know.
Let me stop you just for 1 second. And as best we know, it was his gun, and he was involved. And you understand this. I mean, it's still capital murder. That's an initial charge. Now, I'll leave the judicial system to others in explaining
sure.
it all. You and I may have a slightly better understanding than some and a slightly inferior understanding than others. But I want you to know this. I view it as a very serious situation. And I've asked the question yesterday to Pat Smith and today to Pat Forty. It would have been a bigger story yesterday had we not been dealing with the tragedy in Athens.
Sure. And
now,
I do have one other question for you before you hang up on me.
Sure.
From what I understand, And I'm pretty sure the family couldn't have afforded the Birmingham law firm that is now representing Miles.
Right.
So someone put up the retainer for Miles to represent them, because I researched the Birmingham law firm that's representing him, and they aren't cheap.
No, I was curious about that myself, having spent so much time there. I'll give you a broad view, and you can help me out because you've been on the other side. But when you hire a criminal defense attorney, there's one thing they want to know before they get too deep into the process, and that's, do you have any money? Because otherwise, a murder charge is I think the most expensive to defend. I mean, you need a lot of people involved.
And I will tell you, my dad's retainer off the top was $20,000, and then it was about $1,500 an hour after that.
Yeah, no, it's very expensive. Stephen, you always hear lawyers have a reputation. You always hear that lawyers will do anything for publicity, but not all. This is not a case you want to be associated with without being paid.
No, you're exactly right. So someone's guaranteed that law firm's retainer, and I highly doubt it's his family from Washington, D.C. that is actually doing it. So I don't know who's doing it. I'm not making any kind of accusatory claims.
But my question back to you, Stephen, is this, we'll take advice from anyone who offers it, but what more should we do, in your mind, to talk about this story?
No, I just think that you know a lot of people associated with the Bama program. I mean, you've lived down there. You covered that program for years, and I would hope that you would get more people that could maybe give us a little bit more insight on what they know, because someone knows something, Paul.
Well, Stephen, I don't have any doubt. There is more information out there, but please let me know when, we're not in Alabama.
You think you could get the athletic director from Alabama on the phone and talk to him?
No, I don't, because I don't think the athletic director at Alabama would comment on this right now.
What about John Talty?
I'm sure John... he would be an excellent resource, but I don't know what more he could add than what's been reported in his publication. But
all right, and I haven't read his publication.
Let me state, as last week ended, we were planning on having Nate Oates on. When was it? I think we were supposed to have him. Yeah, we were going to have him on this week, obviously, because of his team success. He's not doing interviews right now other than basketball-related. The challenge right now from an Alabama standpoint is to get anyone on that campus. But, no, as far as John or reporters, yeah, they're free to come on, and we will continue to go back there to report. We're 2 days into this story. We've had two guests on the subject, and there's a limited amount of information that is still available, and we will continue to cover it. Yeah, do I think it's a huge story? I most certainly do, and anyone who follows me knows that we do not shy away from stories like that, no matter what they bring to the university. That's not our problem. Our challenge here and our obligation here is to ferret out the news, but not speculation and not innuendo and not baseless rumors. We're talking about a capital murder charge. We'll take a short break.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome all of you back. Thanks for being here on a Tuesday afternoon. Carol is up next.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Hey, Carol. Good afternoon.
I'm a longtime listener.
Thank you.
Always followed you in the Birmingham paper and always listening to your radio shows. I was actually listening the day Harvey Updike called in.
I couldn't believe
at first that it was even true. And then the more I listened, the more I realized that it was true. But I just wanted you to know that I watch you every day, and I enjoy your show so much.
Thank you.
And I love about 95% of your callers, and I do like to listen to I-Man. But today, his call was ridiculous. And to call Alabama football and Alabama basketball thugs because of this incident that happened, and I know it's horrible. A young lady lost her life. And if he's involved, he needs to be found guilty. No doubt about it. But just because that happened doesn't make the whole program thugs. And that just infuriated me.
He mentioned Urban Meyer. I mean, there was a...
Absolutely.
I mean, there was a cancer on that program down there, and Urban Meyer looked the other way. Until this incident, there's not a scintilla of evidence to support that anything like this had been going on under Nate Oates.
Absolutely not. I mean, he wasn't even playing right then. He's been out hurt, but he doesn't play all the time anyway. And this was on a Saturday night, totally not involved in
completely unrelated. And to Nate Oates' credit,
unrelated.
I mean, he's addressed it. There's nothing he can say. The university is not going to allow its athletic director or anyone else to come on a program and discuss a legal case before all the facts are in.
As they shouldn't.
No, absolutely
they should not.
Not
do that. But
you understand, we're talking, I mean, if we were covering it up as one of the callers suggested, we wouldn't allow this conversation. Anything can be said on this show within reason.
And yesterday, your show was spent where it needed to be. And my condolences go out so much to the Georgia family and the family of those that lost their lives. That's horrible. I actually cried at some of your callers yesterday. But today, that all he ever wants to talk about anyway is Alabama and Coach Saban. That's all he talks about.
Carol, you're 100% correct on that. Listen, I want to thank you very much for what you said, and you continue to call. Thank you very, very much. Legend is next.
Hey, my black hat brother. How you doing, man?
Legend.
Man, I just called to let you know I got you back, brother. I be reading all that crap online and stuff, man. I just want you to know the legend got you back, man. I love you, man. Keep doing what you're doing. Let all them haters hate, man. I told you a long time ago, a hater gonna hate. Let them hate, Paul. You know, I just like to speak to the University of Georgia. We kick it hard. I bring it hard. I wouldn't talk about you if you wasn't relevant. But when something like this happens, hey, football don't mean a thing, man. At the end of the day, we're all brothers, we're all neighbors, wives, husband, sister, brother. It's just a friggin' game, but yesterday was about real life. My heart goes out to the university, my prayers with the University of Georgia, and man, just keep going strong. You'll get through this. I know it's hard, but take one day at a time. That's all you can do is take one day at a time, brother. That's all you can do. And just every day I get up, I thank God for another day. None of us are promised tomorrow. We all think we're going to live 80 years, but a lot of us are not. That's just the reality. Just be thankful. Keep going. My heart goes out to you, Georgia. You're in my prayers. And also, Paul, I'd like to say my heart goes out to the young lady that lost her life in the tragic situation with Darius Miles. And, I mean, that's just tragic, man, for a young lady to lose her life like that. And I was charged with capital murder. I know what Darius Miles is going through right now. And it's a bad situation. His whole life has just been turned upside down. And a lot of times the victims are the parents, that, like Darius, the brothers, the mother to this young girl, the brothers. the real victims are people that, you know, wasn't even involved in it. You know what I'm saying, Paul? A lot of times those are the people that get lost in these situations. But my heart goes out to all of you and to the Alabama basketball team. Nate Oates, you've done a great job down there. I ain't listening to none of this bull crap. Paul knows it's bull crap. You're a straight-up great guy. I speak to the Alabama basketball team. Keep your head on your shoulders. Keep your mind right. Pray for your brother. And go out and do the right thing. Watch who you hang out with. Watch who the hell you partner yourself with and get in a car with. Are you listening to me, every Alabama Auburn player, every player in the nation? Watch who you get in the car with. Watch who your partner is. And for sure, it's time to put the guns down. Put them down. I was a coward when I took a gun at 17 and took a life. That was an act of a coward. You don't need a gun to be a man or be bad. I'm speaking to everybody. Put the damn guns down. Stop killing people. I was a coward. It's a cowardly act. Think like a man and be a man. You don't need a gun to be a man. And watch who the hell you hang out with. Watch who the hell you hang out with. And again, my heart goes out to you, Georgia. We kick it. But in the end, the game don't mean nothing, man. It's about life. Peace out, Paul. Got you back, brother.
Thank you, Hutchin. We'll take a short break. Back after this.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
I'm back, and Ted is up next. Good afternoon, Ted. Thank you for the call.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing well.
I should never say that. I'm sorry. First of all, I want to thank that caller that came in and talked about the CBC High School in the late 50s. Because
right.
I started CBC College in 1959.
Really?
So,
How cool.
Wow, it brought back memories. Number two, regarding yesterday, your show was wonderful. It really was. And all I can say is to give condolences and to say that the hierarchy says our parents should we should bury our parents, not the other way around. And my wife and I had the same experience having to bury a son. So, God, all I can say is condolences to those people. Because it's just people who haven't been there, Paul, they can't understand it. It's a club you don't want to be in. You can't get out of it. But it's there. But anyway, and also, I just want to thank you for your show. You really do a good job. You really do.
Ted, thank you for the call and for sharing that. You be well.
And you also, sir.
Thanks so much. Really great to hear from you. Stephen is up next. Hello, Stephen.
Mr. Paul Feinbaum, sir, how are you?
I am well, thank you.
I am, I'm the guy that likes to go back and, you know, down memory lane. First off, I want to say your show yesterday was unbelievable. You touched a lot of hearts and made a lot of people feel good. And for that, I'm appreciative to you.
Thank you.
And I'll call myself RBB. I'll call myself, if you don't mind, a Ross Bridge buddy. Because I sat with you at Ross Bridge, me, you, and Neil Vickers, and had a great time. And I'll never forget that.
I remember being out there, sure.
Had a great time. But also, I'd like to ask you a question. What do you think, what's your thoughts on Auburn moving forward with, you know, they've had real good success in the portal and Hugh Freeze as a head coach, do you think we're going to get there?
Stephen, I do. I'm very encouraged by what Coach Freeze has done already. I think he was an excellent choice. We're out of time, but I feel very positive and upbeat about Auburn's future. We'll take a short break.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.